Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Today's show is a message given by Pastor Joe Schimmel to his congregation at Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California. Now here with vital insights from God's Word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Folks, the world, we've read how they were. They were only evil continually. They were destroying each other, bent on killing each other, raping women, just, you know, given over to all kinds of sexual perversion, ungrateful to God, filled with hate, according to Romans. Yet we read in 2 Peter 2:5 that Noah was a, quote, preacher of righteousness. So he preached to these people. He didn't just stand by and watch them perish. He was a preacher of righteousness. He preached God's word to these people. And that's important for us to understand. He wasn't unmerciful. He wasn't uncaring. In fact, he was the most caring human being on the planet. Nobody else cared, right? So here, Aronofsky and Russell Crowe takes the most caring human being on the planet, the only one that does care, and makes a movie about him being uncaring, at least according to what Russell Crowe's saying, and not benevolent. And instead of mocking how the people were and how could they do that to God, he mocks Noah. Is there an inversion? This is what we call elements of Gnosticism in the movies, where everything in Gnosticism, the heroic characters are made evil, the evil characters are made attractive, i.e., you know, the Judas gospel, you know? And that's what the Gnostics did in the first few centuries of church history. They retold Bible stories, and they made the evil characters look good, and they made the good characters look evil. They made God look evil. And the ultimate theme of Gnosticism is that the God who created the universe is evil because he made it out of matter, which is evil, and we're bound in this matter universe. But Satan, who they recast as Sophia, tells Eve that God wants to set, that she wants to set her free from this Yahweh who's keeping her imprisoned in a body, and eat from the tree of knowledge and you'll be set free. And so Satan has turned into this beautiful goddess named Sophia, and God has made him this tyrant who created us. Everything's inverted. And I'm telling you right now, there's Gnostic elements in Aronofsky's other movies. So it's not surprising to me that Noah would be twisted into becoming an evil character. I'm sure they're not going to make him the worst character he could possibly be, because then nobody would watch the movie. So they're just going to put enough in there to question, what in the world is God doing? What's this about? Well, according to Russell Crowe, he's, you know, not benevolent at all. He's not even nice, he says. So God chose you because he's good. Well, guess what? God chose him because he was righteous, it says, and blameless. It does say that. But Russell Crowe says, no, just because I could get the job done. Why could he get the job done? Not because he was a good guy, but because he could be as hardened as, guess what? It really points to God being an unloving God, folks. That's a lot of what's going on here. In fact, this is a part of the movie. In fact, I told Tony early on, because we're making a video clip of this, and maybe you could help us, and we're hoping to get this done, and I hate to give times, because cutting video takes a long time. But maybe by the end of next week, definitely before the movie gets out, that's our goal. And we're pretty well into it right now. It's looking really good. You will have that clip and others in it, which will be pretty eye-popping for people. So it's important that we understand, though, that Noah is made to look so bad that, guess what? He wants to kill. He finds out that his eldest daughter-in-law, I should say, his eldest son's wife, is pregnant. And he wants to kill her baby in the movie. You know, he wants to do infanticide because, you know, he is under a belief, because, which is totally fiction, not part of the real deal. But of course, you want to make everything confused and chaotic, and you don't want to put the blame where it should really be. But guess what? Noah is thinking that God doesn't want to repopulate the earth, because that's part of the problem, you know, and that God isn't into redeeming humanity at all, which is very, the message of the Bible is redemption through Jesus Christ. Amen. And part of that picture is God saving Noah and his family, which is a picture of Jesus and the redemption that comes through the cross later, which we'll get into in the other study on this. It's really really fascinating when you look at the typology here. It's beautiful. But guess what? Noah misunderstands or thinks that God wants or believes God's intent, he believes God's intent is to not allow humanity to repopulate. That he's just on the ark. He's just on the ark so he can preserve the animals. And they're not going to, humans aren't going to repopulate. They're all going to die off. Humans. So when he finds out that his eldest son's daughter is pregnant, he wants to kill the baby. And in the end, and when she gives birth, and I guess, you know, she has twins and baby girls, and I think one or more live, and then he wants to kill that little girl. He tries to kill the little girl. He's trying to kill her, and they're trying to stop him, and you know, the animals are penning people down, according to people who have seen the actual first screening to help, you know, Noah. So I guess that would be to stop the family members from stopping Noah. So I guess that would be God's intent, right? And guess what? Noah is about to do it, but he can't do it. He can't do it. He can't fulfill God's will. Because even though Noah's an evil guy, he's not as evil as who? As God. Do you see that? Because God wants, he can't do what God wants him to do. And I told Tony before I even knew that part, I go, you know what? I have little doubt in my mind that if they're making Noah look evil, he's a reflection of God, and they're going to make God look evil too. I didn't imagine they'd try to make God look even worse than they'd make Noah look. It's interesting because when you follow the narrative through, it's kind of crazy because we see that God is upset with overpopulation. By the way, according to a lot of environmentalists, a lot of people need to be put to death, some environmental leaders. Oh, guess who do you think will be the first candidates, guys? You know? Yeah. Well, y'all looked at me, huh? but it's interesting. You know, Noah declares, we must weigh those human lives against all creation. So justifying killing humans, even, by the way, killing babies, right? Isn't that interesting? Killing babies becomes a narrative for helping the environment. Did you know that many in the far left that are pro-environment and it's all about saving the earth are all for killing babies and depopulation through infanticide? I think it's really, there's a lot of irony in this though. There's a lot of irony because you see, Gaia is the worship of Terra. Earth, Terra is the Latin word for earth, territory. There is more wars and people killed because of the worship of territory, earth, than all the people multiple times over, thousands of times over, that died in religious wars. You know that? It's for territory that people generally kill each other because they don't obey God's word, which says to love your neighbor as yourself. They want their neighbor. I mean, Russia just went into Ukraine, took Crimea, and they're standing on the border right now. It's because of disobedience to God's word that nations destroy other nations. I'm not talking about self-defense. If a nation wants to destroy you and your family, I'm not the kind of guy who says, oh, just let them just rape your wives and kill your kids. No, but I'm talking about when the aggressor tries to take another nation. That's wicked. And guess what? Ultimately, the environmentalists want everybody's land to belong to the government. Terra, the worship of the earth. And we should know by now that, you know, we can't trust big government. That didn't go so well for those under the Soviet Union, did it? Or under Chairman Mao. And by the way, just in the last century alone, under Stalin and Mao and the atheistic, non-Christian communist leaders, more people were killed in the 20th century than in all the religious wars that ever took place from time immemorial. That's an incredible reality that we need to be aware of. We can only put our trust in God. The Bible says, curse is the one who puts his trust in man. Amen? It's important that we understand this. You know, it's interesting, too, because I have a quote from this same Hollywood scriptwriter, Gadawa, where, you know, he basically makes the same point about, you know, Noah's, basically Noah is, you know, the one who is made to look better than God and so forth. So I'm not seeing things when I look at the script. We must weigh those lives, Noah says, against all creation. And that's the thing, is that the creation is more important than humans. according to the environmentalists and bugs and the spotted owl and what have you. But it's important for us to understand that as God's image bearers, guess what? Christians of all people, we know as God's image bearers that God created the earth, amen? And that we should be good stewards of the earth, you know? I mean, Christians of all people, we don't believe we came from slime and that the earth has no meaning at all, which is kind of really, really weird. You have these Darwinists who believe that everything just came from some cosmic explosion and that there's no real transcendent objective meaning in the universe, yet they end up, many of them end up worshiping the creation. That's because we're created to worship. If you don't worship the creator, you're gonna worship something stupid, okay? Yourself or someone else or whatever, something. And everything is ridiculous when it comes to worshiping something other than worshiping the one that created us and deserves the praise for creating us and what have you. But the interesting thing is the earth is cursed. There is a problem in the environment. But why is the earth cursed? Why is there a problem with the environment? Genesis chapter 3, a few chapters before God floods the earth, is because what came into the world? Sin. Amen. Sin. I can't even count all the people that just said that. Genesis 3 says the earth is cursed because of sin. Repercussions to man's rebellion against God's moral law. And it says that the Garden of Eden, thorns and thistles came up. This beautiful paradise became this thorny, painful desert. Amazing. It's because the reason the world is polluted and cursed is because of man's rebellion against God. In fact, go to Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah chapter 24. And look at what it says about the earth and why it's polluted. Isaiah chapter 24. When you get there, go ahead and go to verse 5. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't care about creatures and stuff. Of course. I love nature, man. I love to hike. I love, since I was a kid, man, I love to, and I think most of us do, God's creation and whether it's birds or fish or, the sea life or the animals, that team, it's beautiful. The trees, it's amazingly beautiful. But you know what? There's a difference from saying, wow, God, look what you've done. And man, the beauty to the eyes and how beautiful the smell of so many different things blooming during springtime, which we're just entering into, right? How beautiful than bowing down and worshiping a tree that had nothing to do with making me and giving it the glory for creating me. That is when it gets stupid, okay? And that's not being a good steward of the creation, okay? You wouldn't be a good steward of your kid if you worshiped the ground they walked on and you worshiped them and you crowned them and they could do no wrong and you never disciplined them. That would actually be to hurt your child. And when you start worshiping creation, you actually are detrimental to the creation instead of helpful. We have to have things in proper perspective. In fact, praise God, God cares about the animals. It says that he cares about the birds, Jesus said, when he sees, in the Old Testament, if a bird's nest dropped to the ground, if you could help that bird out, you were called to help it out. Jesus said when a sparrow falls to the ground in death, that the Father sees it. He cares about him. But Jesus says, because we're made in his image, that you are worth far more than many sparrows.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
We also recognize that we are made in the image of God. And just science shows that we are far more complicated. Your brain is the most complex thing in the entire universe that's been studied. They haven't found anything else more complex than the human brain. And God's Word teaches us that we are made in the image of God. But look at verses 5 and 6 of chapter 24 of Isaiah. The earth is also what? Polluted by its what? Inhabitants. Now this is, I almost hesitate to read this because it'll start being used for, by the environmentalists for conditions right now and things that people are doing. But there was no, nuclear waste then and on, right? But what was polluting? The earth is polluted by its inhabitants for the transgressed laws, violated statutes. Transgressed laws, violated statutes. They what? They broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a what? A curse devours the earth, and those who live in it are held guilty. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. The new wine mourns, the vine decays. the merry hearted sigh. Why is the vine decaying? Why is the vegetation struggling? Because people are transgressing God's moral laws. They're rebelling against God's word. Hollywood, ha, is cursing the earth. Hollywood and those on the far left that flip God off and say, I'm gonna do my own thing, I'm gonna kill babies, and it's okay to do that and get involved in all kinds of sexual perversion. Those are the guys that are ruining the earth, according to scripture. That's why there's a curse on the planet. When you get this false narrative that if you're not hugging a tree and worshiping it, that you must be anti-environmental, flip the script, man. Tell them, hey, you know what the Bible says? The reason the earth is cursed is because of our sin. Don't point your finger at them. Say us. We, yeah, it's all our fault, but it's because we rebelled against God's moral law. Love them. I mean, we were once lost like them, amen? Care for them. No matter what sin they're caught up in, what kind of blindness they're caught up in, try to be patient with them. That was us before we were saved, amen? So you got to reckon. I remember I was an agnostic / atheist. I was more agnostic than atheist. I didn't believe in God, but I believed there was something. I was smart enough to know there's something beyond me that's more powerful. But guess what? I was just very lost, very anti-God. I wrote songs that were pro-environmentalism, you know. One was your God is your myth is your God. Disappointment is your friend, you know. Parking lots now lay where forests once teemed, and it was all about saving the environment. And I'm channeling this stuff from demons, folks, when I was 16, 17 years old. And it's all anti-God. Disappointment is your friend was the name of the song. You'll be disappointed when you realize that Jesus Christ, God, you don't need them, but it's your friend. It'll set you free. It was kind of a play on that. I didn't even know what I was writing. When I became a Christian, I read all my old songs. I'm like, oh, man, I was evil. That's what's happening in Mass. A lot of these guys don't have a clue what they're even doing. Some do, though. We need to be patient with them. I came to Jesus. Paul was having Christians killed. He wrote half the New Testament. He's chief of sinners. He said God saved him. So as a pattern that whoever would come to Jesus Christ, come to God through Jesus Christ could be saved. Amen? So try to be patient with those who are lost. Because one thing that happens when you read this stuff, I have to constantly pray, man. And you look at this stuff, it breaks your heart. And you start to get really like, man, these guys, you get upset when people deceive people. Amen? Then you need to start praying for them. Not getting them off the hook, not saying, I won't. No, speak the truth in love. Amen? Because these guys are broadcasting to millions and millions of people lies. We need to speak the truth. Amen? By the way, look at verses 20 through 23 of the same chapter. The earth reels to and fro like a drunkard, and it totters like a shack, for its transgression is heavy upon it, and it will fall, never to rise again. So it will happen in that day, talking about the day of the Lord, when Jesus Christ comes, that the Lord will punish the host of heaven on high and the kings of the earth on earth. They will be gathered together like prisoners in the dungeon and will be confined in prison. And after many days, they will be punished. The moon will be abashed and the sun ashamed. The Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and his glory will be before his elders. He's going to punish the host of heaven, the fallen angels, humans, the kings of the earth, because these people are rejecting his moral law. And that's ultimately what's destroying the earth. Jesus Christ comes back to destroy, it says in Revelation 11, 15 through 19, when he comes back at the last trumpet, to destroy those who are destroying the earth. Oh yeah, dumping toxins in the ocean and killing fish and things of that nature, that's wicked. No Christian should think that that's not a problem or that we shouldn't be concerned about such things. But let's not just take a part of the problem and then say the answer is to worship the earth or to make that our central focus only and ignore God and his word when the root of the problem is in Romans 1 and not recognizing the creator for who he is, which is what's going on in our world today in popular media and what have you, and end up worshiping the creation instead. That's the problem. And the Noah movie goes a long way toward doing just that. Is God an uncaring God in this regard? The crazy thing about this, folks, is we just read where it says that God's heart was grieved, amen? He cared that his spirit would not always strive with man, that he gave him 120 years. Noah preached righteousness during that time. People had time to repent, but they had become totally wicked, as the scriptures say. And it says in 1 Peter 1:20, it speaks of when once the divine, now listen to this, 1 Peter 1:20, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. Wow. the long-suffering of God. See? He was grieved. His spirit was striving with the wickedness of man. God could have wiped him out right away. Just gone, you're dead. But he waited 120 years during the long-suffering of God. And what's amazing about this, folks, is when Peter mentions the flood in 2 Peter and how people deliberately forget or deliberately ignorant of what God did in the past in judging the earth, are the same people, he says, who will mock us in the last days, saying, where is the promises coming? And they forget, they neglect to remember that God wiped out the earth before. And then he says of God that he hasn't come, not because he doesn't care, but because he's waiting for more people to be saved. And that his patience means salvation, Peter says. And then he says in 2 Peter 3:9, and I love this, man. And you've heard me quote this verse a lot because we talk a lot about the love of God here. That God does not will that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's in the context of when he's talking about the flood and the second coming. That's the heart of God. So to present Noah as the evil man who's not benevolent and he's not even nice and say God is even worse is absolutely unscriptural. And you know what? It does not surprise me because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers that want to put a spin, just like the Gnostics did, on biblical stories to promote an evil agenda. I encourage you to meditate as to what the story of Noah means. Meditate upon the fact that we are sinners as human beings and that we are in trouble with God if we don't get right with him. That God is long-suffering. He was in the past and he wants us to repent and get right with him and be saved. Amen. And that God is so loving that God became a man and entered into our suffering and suffered the worst death that anyone could suffer as he took the judgment of humanity upon himself at the cross and rose again and conquered death and open up paradise again to us so we could be saved. You can't trump that story, folks. We have the greatest story that ever happened, and it's a true story. And Jesus Christ is real. He was a historical person. History changed when he came to the planet, fulfilled the prophecies that he would die for the sins of the world, and he is coming back again, and we need to be ready, amen? Can I encourage you? And praise God, I want to encourage you to get busy for Revivus. But guess what? By getting this video clip out, it's going to have a salvation message in it and be eye-popping for people to see. Can some of you say, hey, especially those of you who are on the internet, find ways to get this out, help it go viral, send it to different Christian ministries, amen? Get this in people's hands. Our Beyonce video went viral. I mean, we had all kinds of people, different parts of the world. We're in Israel. People are like, did you see this video? We're like, yeah, we did that. That's funny, you know? Tony on his hockey team, the guy's like, did you see this video? He's showing him our video that Tony worked on. You know, it's happened, still happening to this day. Chad's wrestling coach that he repped his team, the coach he coaches with said, told him that, you know, he'd seen the video just recently. And we'd love to see that happen with the Noah movie, the Noah clip. And I just want to encourage you to pray about finding ways to get at least post it on your Facebook. Amen. Let's try to get the word out because we want to get the people that Satan is trying to turn away from God to turn to Jesus. And what Satan uses for evil, we're gonna turn for the good, amen? Praise God, let us all stand. Give glory to God, he's good, amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for the continuation of this important message. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show. You.